I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. If you've got a phone or a Bible or a tablet, just turn to 1 Peter if you will. And we can look at God's Word again today. And I want to spend some time speaking about what's in this passage. And then at the end of this message, so just heads up, I'm going to preach for probably 25 minutes. And then we're going to have a time to give God thanks, and then we'll conclude. So 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read to you from verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. And Peter writes, "As obedient children," that was something that Josh was trying to do, to be an obedient child. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So here Peter focuses in on the importance for all who are now children of God, who now no longer live in ignorance, but now live holy lives. These who would call themselves Christians, to whom Peter writes, who are now identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, are to make a deliberate decision to live a godly life, to make godly decisions, because God himself is godly. Or, as the word here says, because God is holy. And so we are called as his people to be deliberately holy in our behavior, in all we do, because we are no longer ignorant. That is a command. That is why I'm speaking the way I'm speaking. I'm speaking in a commanding voice, because that is the voice of Scripture here. It's a command. It's not a choice that we will choose to be holy. Sometimes it's a command to be holy, because we do not belong to ourselves anymore. If I belong to myself, I could make a choice, and I could sometimes be holy and sometimes not be holy. But I wouldn't be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're commanded to be holy. That is also a result of being made a child, his children. But like all children, and clearly Peter means adults here, not just children. He's just not writing to the kingdom kids group. He's writing to all those who are children of God through faith in Jesus, not just an age thing. He wants to remind them that of who they are, and what those in Christ have been called to, as well as what they've been called from. Rescued from ignorance. Rescued from ungodly lives. Saved, we might call it saved. It's a great word. Needs to be explained. Saved from what? Saved to what? Saved, Peter says, from our past evil desires. Delivered from our ignorance. People who think they know what they know are sometimes ignorant of them not knowing what they should know. You can be ignorant and come across as a real know-it-all. Is that true? People who mock and laugh and think, "Oh, I've got this Christian thing. Oh, it's easy. I'll just do whatever I want." They are ignorant of their ignorance. That is how we were before we came to Christ. John Calvin wrote in one of his little books a couple of years ago, "The mark of a true Christian is humility." Humility, humility. That was his 3 points of a mark of a Christian. Called now to be holy in all we do. Verse 17. Please look in your Bibles with me to verse 17. "Since you call on a father," there's another mark of a believer who is now a child of God. He called on his father. Calls on his father. We are trained in this culture to call upon many things. Call upon the wisdom of our age. Call upon the media. Call upon our spouse. Call upon the educators. Call upon our politicians. Call on anything. But since you now call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, because you do that, which shows that you're a child of God, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Well, there's a description of the Christian life. Live out your time here as foreigners here in reverent fear. What is Peter urging, commanding? He's saying, in effect, use whatever is what's left of your God-given time here on earth and ways it honour God. Not out of personal preference, not what you can get out of it, but rather as foreigners. Now, foreigners behave differently than those who are born and raised in certain countries and towns. Foreigners live differently. Foreigners realise that they don't have three generations buried in the local cemetery. And quite frankly, they don't tend to care. It's a parochial thing that matters to some people, but foreigners don't. Foreigners are grateful often for the fact that they are where they're at. They come to serve. They come to build relationships. It's something that is good for especially small towns, since we live in a small town, to see foreigners come in because it shakes things up a little bit. It gives us a new perspective. They're here for a reason. They often come for work or to settle. They come to make new relationships. They don't have relationships that have been around for generations, and so they're there to love and to get to know people and for people to get to know them. Foreigners live differently. They have a different economy. They don't just stick to themselves. They reach out to others. It's a wonderful thing, and often God uses foreigners to grow the kingdom of God in new areas. Certainly, we are commanded to live as foreigners, not to buy in, as it were, to the things of the world, not to buy into that mindset, but to realize that this really isn't your home. We're only here for a short time. And to live that out in reverent fear, honor, honor to God, living for Him and not for ourselves. And why is it? Well, let me reiterate what Peter is saying here in verse 18. This is his reason. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So why use what's left of your God-given time here on earth and ways that honor God? Because of the cost that was paid for you to be a child of God. And because of the comparison of what you now have inherited through Christ to that which was handed down to you. The cost was not cheap. Things like silver and gold and money and wealth of the world could not pay for you and me to become a child of God. It's not that cheap, Peter's saying. It's not like silver and gold. Not that kind of rubbish, but the precious blood of Christ, that Christ lived and died for you so that you could become a child of God. He could have said not houses or stocks or diamonds or gold or popularity, none of that kind of rubbish, but the precious blood of Christ, who was born and lived and died for you, for your salvation, for eternity. Not just so you could have a nice life, a comfortable life. Not at all. But then you might be reconciled to God and really experience why God even made you in the first place. Why He created you. This is big picture. Big picture. Now, Peter wants to say more about Jesus. Isn't this amazing? We're just walking through this passage and he's talking about living holy, and in a few moments he's straight into Jesus, straight into the atoning sacrifice of Christ. He wants to say more about Jesus and how amazing God's power and love is for His people. in verse 20. He's going to talk more about Jesus. He's not just going to throw that out. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. There you go. For our sake. Verse 21. Through him you believe in God. And that's the testimony of all scripture. It is only through Jesus that we believe in God. You can believe in God, but if it's not through Jesus, it's not the kind of faith and belief that the Bible talks about that has saving power. Who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So it's only through Jesus, Peter is saying, that we are now adopted by God, that our sins have been paid in full. We have a new inheritance that looks like, what's the inheritance looks like if we're actually receiving this inheritance already? It's not just something in the future. It's something we've received because we already are a child of God. It looks like, Peter says, a holy life. He's pushing back in terms of many people can say they believe in God and they this, that, and the next thing, and they're okay. But the mark of truly being a child of God is that you live a holy life. That you speak God's words, that you respond in God's ways. Because we are now looking and living like God, the way that God had intended us and created us to be. And that's why it's wonderful. When you do what you're created for, life is wonderful. You're not meant to use a lawnmower to trim a hedge. You mean picking that thing up? It's very dangerous, and it's quite hard to lift. You use a lawnmower to mow the lawns, and it works wonderful, and it's easy, and it's what it's made for. You start using things for the wrong reason, wrong purpose, things go badly wrong very quickly. God has made us to be like him, to be holy, set apart from unholy heritages to holy heritage, to receive life. But there is something else now which Peter wants to remind them of, and it comes in verse 22. Because he uses the word now. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that is by accepting and turning to Christ and obeying the truth, believing the truth, receiving the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, which is another outworking of being a child of God, sincere love, not just fake, hi, how you going? Nah, sincere love is a mark of a true believer. Then he says, since you've received this, love one another deeply from the heart. So where does this love come from for each other? Well, it comes from God. And how do we know the content of how to love? Well, it comes from God's living and enduring word that we have and that we preach and teach and share with others. And that comes up in verse 23, God's word. That's how we know God loves us, through his word. Verse 23, for you have been born again, how? Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Josh said he didn't know at what point he became a Christian. That's fine. But as he read the word, as he delved into God's word and God's truth and heard the Spirit teaching him God's will and God's ways, I believe God used that word to bring you to himself, the God of all truth. Because that's the way God does it. That's the way he's said he does it here in 1 Peter. Born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. If you're unsure of where you stand before God, pick up your Bible and start reading it. Over and over and over, and searching and digging deep into it, because God speaks through his word to you, to me, over and over and over. When we look around or look in or look at others, we're directionless. He has given us his word to reveal his will and purpose. I cannot overemphasize that. No matter where you are or what you're going through, go to his word. Go to it. Listen to it. Pray it. Ask for him to show you what he is saying in his word. And you'll be just fine. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I've been preaching this, go to God's word, read God's word, for more than 2,000 years. That's how God has determined that he would speak. Nothing different. It'll continue until Christ comes again. Pastors and teachers and churches and thousands, hundreds, I don't know how long it's going to be before Jesus comes back, hundreds and hundreds, it'll be thousands of years. Preachers will stand in the pulpit and people will go home and read their Bible, and God will continue to speak through that and build his church. And this is the word that was preached to you. Now we're in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Therefore, Peter writes, because of that, rid yourself of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, and every kind, and like newborn babies. And if you're wondering what that is, have a look around. There's a few of them around here. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. There's a picture for you. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Babies, when they taste that milk, when they first start feeding off their mother, all of a sudden they're like, wow, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. And they start crying when they want it. Is that right? You don't have to be a lady to observe that phenomena. And they crave it and they want it. And then they're settled and they're full. And then they need to burp. We need to be feeding on God's word. And then Peter says, God's favor extended to us through Jesus' perfection and sacrifice comes to us through his words and his words. And a lot of our ministries here are word-based ministries. Bible studies, groups, men's and women's groups, KYB, even our outreach programs and our things that we do for children. We have components of the word there. We build relationships with people. But there's an element of sharing God's word as well as our lives, because it's his word that changes our worldview and gives us a promise in Christ. But as we come to God, we need to know that God is building us together so that we might not stumble, because Jesus actually trips people up who don't believe his word, because they don't trust him. They reject him. They reject his word. And so they are still in darkness. Even some who claim to know Jesus, they wonder why their lives are the way they are. They feel like Jesus is pulling the mat out from underneath of them, because they've really never really trusted him or his word. They've wanted to remain the Lord of their life. Why am I saying that? Because that's religion, and there's a lot of religion around the place. And there's a lot of unhappy Christians around the place. And they think that Jesus is out to trip them up. Because they think coming to Jesus is going to make their life better, and they're wondering why their life is not actually getting any better. Well, the fact of the matter is they may never come to Jesus. They've never really trusted him. They're trusting themselves. They're still ruling their own thoughts. They need to come to Jesus. Simple, isn't it, really? Come to Jesus.
come to his word.
But we are not those who reject him. We are, as Peter writes in verse 9, but you, unlike these who are religious or handed down false traditions, but you are a chosen people. Listen to the plurality as I read this out. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why are we together, God's special possession, royal nation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood? Here is the answer. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's created us to praise him, to declare his praises. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. How do you know you're part of the kingdom of God? Because you've always been a Baptist and gone to church? No. Because you've always believed in God? No. Even the devil believes in God, and he's always believed in God. One of the marks that you know you've truly been born again is that you declare his praises. You're speaking well of God. It's overflowing from within you. You're talking about him and thanking him. And you're declaring how wonderful he is and how good he's been to you and not being a grumbler. Therefore, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, because you're not like them, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Verse 16, live. The Christian life is for living. Live as free people. We heard about the tension before. That horrible tension of trying to please God by living by rules rather than by grace that empowers us to live out God's principles. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live, he says, as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. There is a mark of someone who's truly born again. That they show proper respect to everyone. Not just to those who are like them or believers of the same God, but to everyone. Friends, it's not a sign of weakness to show proper respect to everyone. It's a sign of godliness and holiness. Because that is what our God is like. He is good to everyone. Psalm 145, to all he has made. Verse 17, so show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. So yes, there's a command to love those who are a family of believers. Fear God. Honour the king. In other words, we are to keep working on building godly relationships while we have breath and life for his glory. Because we've been called and forgiven and we have really experienced his love. We are also called to build holy and godly relationships with each other. Peter says here to live holy lives, to become more like Jesus and to love one another deeply from the heart. Serving one another, sacrificing for one another out of love, just as Jesus has done for us. That's his big point. And lastly, Peter is saying here, we are called to build godly relationships with everyone else. As Peter says in verse 17, show proper respect to everyone so that they may see God. See Jesus and experience God's grace and love through his word and his people. These three areas of building godly relationships are only possible because of God's love for us through Jesus, making us his own. And only because he was rejected and crucified for us that we have been rescued, that we have been given an inheritance that is different than that which we received naturally. We have received it because he was rejected and he was crucified and raised from the dead for us. So maybe this morning you have a testimony, a praise report, a word of thanks to God because God has created us to do that. Maybe you have a testimony of in the area of your relationship with God has become or is becoming more real. Now, what we've seen here and what we have in our mission statement or whatever you want to call it, by the grace of God, we here at Gympie Baptist Church seek to build a godly relationship with God first and foremost. Maybe your relationship with God has grown this year and you want to give him thanks. Or maybe you want to thank him that God has enabled you to build a godly relationship with each other for our joy and our sanctification. That even though we have differences here, for those who are in God, in Christ, iron is sharpening iron. You, as we have fellowship and live together, we are working on our godly relationships internally, loving each other deeply from the heart, more and more. Maybe you have a praise report around that. Or lastly, maybe you have a praise report around building godly relationships with everyone else. Maybe those who are your neighbors who don't know Christ, maybe in your workplace, maybe God has given you an opportunity with someone whom you know is not a believer in Christ, who is not born of the Spirit, who love him and love his people. Maybe God's given you an opportunity for that this year that you would like to just briefly give thanks for. Well, that's what we're going to do for a few moments now. Partly I'm doing that because not everyone here is members, and we want to celebrate that together, what God has done this past 12 months, building godly relationships. So if anyone would like to very briefly just say a few things, and then we can ask others to give praise to God too. How's that sound? Fantastic? It does. It does to me anyway. Who would like to... Is this on, Mitch? Anyone like to... You know, it doesn't have to be like a sermon. Just would you like to give thanks to God? No? Yes? Everyone should be thinking, has my relationship with God growing this year, building godly relationships with God? Do you want to? I won't go too far.
In July, God took my wife home. But in the last 5 months, he's drawn me closer to himself because he's all I've got.
Amen. Wasn't going to be easy, but it's true, eh? It's true. Others, is your relationship with God, with each other, everyone else?
This year, for the first time in a whole year, I went through the whole scripture. Now, it was on tape and I listened to it, and I'm going back again because there's so much to learn, and I've grown in what I find in the Old Testament. And then I've been challenged so much by what is said from the pulpit here when we go into God's word. And I can't help think, but if we follow God's word and we join together and we learn from each other, that we're changing all the time. Mm. And he continues to grow us. And I thank him that he's chastised me. He's told me about things that I need to change. And he's grown me this year. And I hope he continues to do that all of my life that I'm here. So I just give him thanks for that.
Amen. Amen.
I'm rejoicing in the growing relationships I have with people in my home church here. Also, the wide opportunities I have to form relationships with the wider community in a number of areas. Mm. And it's just such a blessing. And I think God is teaching me a lot about myself and my failings there too. So, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Others, just give me a wave.
I'm finding God's word, like others, just so precious, and I love my time reading that, and it amazes me again and again how much he shows of himself as we look for answers for the things that we might want. But it's so precious, and it's so good, and there's no other way to get close to him than with his word, in his word.
Mm. Mm. Amen. Amen.
I think my greatest thing this year is thankful for the wisdom that's found in God's word, and then the ability that in taking that time to read it and hear God's wisdom and grow in it, the many opportunities that I've then had in the situations I find myself to plant seeds to people and sow seeds using the truth and the wisdom that's found in God's word.
I'm just thankful for a bunch of home groups that we've had this year. I'm thankful for the people that God has brought along, and it's been really good just to sit around with a bunch of people and read the Word and grow together in our relationship with God, to love Him more once we realise more and more all that He's done for us and all that He is. And I think it's also just been a good chance to get to know other, like, and generally all the home groups I've been to, we've had a meal together as well, and it's been a really good opportunity to spend time with each other, share a meal together, and get to know each other as well. And so, I've just been really thankful for those times this year.
Indeed. Indeed. Others? No? Yes?
So building your relationship with God is kind of fundamental to the Christian life. I mean, we tend to do that, out of the three of them, we tend to do that best. Secondly, it's because God brings us together as a church family, not just leaves us alone. We should be doing life together, living the Christian life as a body. We kind of tend to do that second best. That's why people say, oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. So you can be pulled away from that, but you do need to have a relationship with God. You do need to be in a body. But the thing that we often find hard, I think, is that telling others and loving others, everyone else, because I know that's a struggle for this church, because we've done a few surveys recently. And it's been a struggle for me, but you do grow in it. When you step out in faith, you do grow in it. And for me, this year, one highlight, just quick story, has been building godly relationships with everyone else. And it's always a good thing for a pastor to do that, because you spend a lot of time with Christians. So you want to have deliberate choices to have time with non-Christians. So this year, for me, the big thing has been meeting up with Muslims in our community and going to their little cultural center and opening up the Quran and the Bible with them on a number of occasions, and getting to build relationships with them, because they do actually own the Indian food restaurants around here and different things, and they're in our community, and it's so good to be in town and to have different people from Pakistan and Bangladesh and Indonesia go, hello Tony, because we don't have a lot of darker skinned people, I put it that way. And so a lot of people, like, they don't have a lot of relationships with Western people or Australian people. And so it's a real honour to get to know them and love them and go on to their terms. So when I was back in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, I knew there were some Muslims that owned the local Turkish shop. And so I went into there and I said, look, I'm not here to buy lunch, although I do love your Turkish kebabs. I'm here for information. I'm in town for a week. What time are your prayers at the mosque? And they kept on calling someone out because they couldn't figure out what I was asking. And a guy comes out from Bangladesh. He says, I'll come and sit down. So we have a big talk, and he's quizzing me about, am I a Muslim? I said, no. He says, why are you interested in the mosque? Why do you want to come out? I said, oh, because I'm a follower of Jesus, and Jesus loves Muslims, and I love Muslims, and I have friends that are Muslims. And you know, I'd love to come and meet you guys and see what you're doing here in New Plymouth. And so he was like one of the head guys, and he was flying back to Auckland. So he said, when you go there on Friday at 1:30, there'll be about 60 Muslim men, which there were, and just tell them that you know me, and they'll be friendly to you. I thought that's a good thing. So I turned up there a little bit early, and I asked if I'd take some photos. I was the first there for prayers on Friday at 1:30. And they said, what are you doing here? You're Muslim. I told them again that I wasn't Muslim. I was a follower of Jesus and whatnot. And then they were like, what are you doing here? And I told them that Jesus loved Muslims. And they're like, and I love Muslims. Anyway, there were six, by the time it finished, there were 60 men there in our town. and then there's me. And they were all lined up, and they were praying to Allah, and I was praying to Jesus. But I tell you, it's really hard to get on your knees when you've got bad rugby knees. And anyway, they're all lined up there, and there's me with my white hair, and I just stood out like anything else. Anyway, I got to talk to them about the sermon afterwards, which was in Arabic and whatnot, and I got a lot of their names down on my phone so I could meet them next time I visit. But it was a wonderful opportunity to love everyone else. And I was at the ministers' fraternal that week early on in our city, and we got about 30 or 40 ministers there. And I got to catch up with them later as well. And they were talking about how they send people on missions. You know, so this church is sending them to this country and that country to reach Muslims. And I said, well, there's 60 on Friday at the prayer meeting that we had. You know, what about going and seeing those dudes and getting to know them because they live in this community? And I'm like, really? I didn't even know they existed. Well, they do. And there's 60 of them. 60 men in the middle of the day coming out to pray to Allah. You try and get 60 Christian men coming out. Now, I'm not so, it was very religious. I know all that. But, yeah, there's something going on there that missions is local and our witness is local. And yes, it's good that we send people over on these trips. But God has called us to love people in our community, no matter where they're from and what their background is, and treat them with dignity and respect and build godly relationships with them. So that's my praise report to God. Really easy, really simple, just wanting to touch people with the gospel. It's that simple. Well, we're going to close. Let me close in prayer. It's been a great time to worship together and think through Peter's words for our hearts. And then we're going to sing, have some fellowship, and then have our AGM. Well, let us pray together then. Father, we thank you for your word and for the work of your Spirit, and we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and lived the life to show us what God is like and to live the righteous life that we couldn't, that you alone are perfect in all your ways. We thank you for loving us while we were yet sinners. We thank you for putting people around us who loved you, who shared the gospel. We thank you for granting us saving faith and understanding. We thank you for adopting us into your family. We thank you for all that we are through Christ. We thank you for keeping us for these many years, for many of us. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't stopped teaching us and challenging us and encouraging us to seek after you, to keep our eyes on you. That you haven't stopped reminding us to love one another deeply from the heart, because you know that that's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes when we know each other well and we know all our warts and faults, it's sometimes hard for us to humble ourselves and to forgive each other from the heart and to keep loving. But we thank you that that's what you've called us to, and that, Jesus, you are the example of loving others who are sinners and who disappoint you, but yet you continue to love and forgive. And we thank you, Lord, that you came to us when we were lost. You came to redeem us and to build a relationship with us. And we thank you that we can do that with those who don't know you. And we thank you for the wonderful good news that sets people free. That we thank you, Lord, that we can take the light of the gospel, knowing that there is power in the gospel to save. It's not us. It's not our strength or our wisdom or our apologetic or our answers. But it's your spirit's at work who's drawing people to yourself as we seek to be obedient out of love for the lost. We thank you for the people you put around us who don't know the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for discernment in the things that we do and the things that we say with all the people that we meet. And we just thank you, Father, for this year and for all the people who have served and sacrificially given in so many ways, thus showing often that these are your people, that they do so willingly and joyfully, not to get brownie points, but because they serve an audience of one, because they know they are loved by you. And so we thank you for the love of your people and what you're doing here at Gympie Baptist Church and in this community and in our own lives as well. We give you thanks now for all these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.